Well, good day to you. It's Joel with the King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
I remember there was this time where I was just searching for my purpose. And we think we're the ones searching for God when really God is the one knocking on the door.
You're listening to Chiseled and Called with Brittany Dawn, a podcast about finding freedom in imperfection and peace in your broken pieces through Jesus. Our prayer is that today's message will bless you, embolden you, and fix your gaze on the King, that it will stir up the calling God has placed within you. Without further ado, here's your host, Brittany Dawn.
Welcome to the Chiseled and Called podcast. I am your host, Brittany Dawn, and the joys of being in a waiting season. Am I right? Like, let's be real for a minute. No one enjoys waiting. We live in a microwave culture that expects everything to be handed to us instantly. But how do we respond when God's answer is no? How do we respond when he calls us into the wilderness with no end in sight? Today, Ashley Hetherington is here to share all about finding joy in the in-between and truly trusting that God is not done yet. So without further ado, let's hop in. Okay, Ashley, welcome to the podcast. Oh my gosh, how are you?
I am so good. I am honored to be here with you. I love that we're kind of matching.
We are. We're both wearing gray. It's kind of like, it's a really rainy day here in Texas. I don't know about there where you are, but it's just like really rainy and icky here. So I was like, this is just kind of the mood I'm in, is like a crew neck outfit.
It's really working. I like that it says made to worship. So that's definitely beating mine. Mine's just from Skims. So
we love Skims though. We love Skims. Oh my gosh. I can't believe that we're here doing this. I feel like this has been a long time coming. We were talking a little bit before we started recording, and I feel like I followed you for so long, and it's just, here we are. We're finally getting to know each other, and I'm going to get to like hear all about the things that God is doing in your life and everything that he's done. And I just can't wait.
I can't wait too, because I have admired you for so long, your boldness to share the gospel. And I think the people who are listening here admire that about you too. You're just like, you're so bold, and I can learn that from you.
Oh, thank you. It's come with a lot of challenges. It's not always the popular thing, you know, to do, but Jesus, he spoke truth even when it wasn't the popular thing to do. So, but yeah. I'm excited to just jump in. So for everyone that I'm sure a lot of people that are listening know who you are, but if there's anyone that's listening that doesn't know who you are, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Yes. So I'm so glad you're here listening on this podcast. Thanks for giving us your time. And my name is Ashley. I am a YouTuber. I'm a content creator, and I'm now an author, which is crazy. Okay. And my passion is to help women grow closer to Jesus and reach their full potential in the Lord.
I love that. I'm so proud of you. And I just want to encourage you and edify you for a minute. Like, the way that you encourage women to try to find their best self in Jesus, right? Like, there's so many just different avenues of people trying to find their best self in the world, right? And this and that. And the way that you just point everyone to Jesus, I love that about you. That's what drew me to your page. I was like, there's just something, there's an anointing on Ashley's life. There's something different about her. There's something special about the way that she delivers the gospel, the way that she delivers her testimony, the way that she delivers everything. And I just applaud you for that. I'm so proud of you. And one thing that I love to do with Chiseled and Called is just give everyone the space to share their testimony. I feel like I know bits and pieces of it from social media, but you know, we know firsthand that's, it can sometimes just be bits and pieces, just that. So for anyone that is listening that also doesn't know your testimony, I know I only know certain parts of it from what you've shared. Can you kind of just tell us what Jesus has done in your life and what it was that really led you to him? Because I feel like if I've seen your story correctly, there was a point where you either didn't believe in God or you weren't following him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like, tell us all about that. What led you to the cross?
Hallelujah. What led me to the cross? What a great question. I feel like I could just answer this every day.
Amen.
So for anyone listening, I was not raised in a Christian home. I love my family. I love my parents so much, but they just didn't raise me with biblical values and to read the Bible. So I very quickly found a God in other things like performance, what guys thought of me. I mean, think about 16-year-old Ashley. Like she was having fun, but she just didn't really know who she was. And my identity was not rooted in who God called me to be. It was really how can I get people to like me? That was like my God, so to speak. And so I remember there was this time where I was just searching for my purpose. Mm-hmm. And we think we're the ones searching for God when really God is the one knocking on the door. So God was knocking on the door of my heart and putting this message of like, how can I find my purpose? How can I find my purpose? And I literally would have become a Buddhist at that point. Like I was open to anything. I was reading The Power of Now, which is like this mindfulness book, I think. I couldn't even get through it because it literally didn't make sense to me. But anyway, I was just searching. And my best friend at the time, who always was raised a Christian, she just stuck by my side. She was on my patio with me in the back patio. And she said, hey, I'm going to go. I have a book club. And I said, oh, what book are you reading? She goes, oh, it's a book about finding your purpose. I was like, oh, okay, well, I need to read this book. And so she gives me this book, and it's called The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. And the first page says, this book is not about you. This book is about God.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, what? So meanwhile, I just dug into this. This book was basically my Bible. I didn't even read the Bible. I was like obsessed with this book, but it did open the door for me to learn about Jesus. And then I was in a lukewarm relationship, and I also was going out to the bars, but I would like go to church the next day with stamps on my hand. Like I was like that kind of girl.
Yeah.
And the Lord really took me in after my parents got a divorce and my boyfriend and I, we got in a breakup. So it was those two things happened at the same time. And I was like at rock bottom for a year and I just was completely cold. So I went from lukewarm to being cold. Rock bottom girly, like was the worst version of myself. And when people hear about this, they're like, Ashley, that doesn't even seem like you. Like you seem like you're always this Christian girl. I'm like, you're so funny because that's what gives God glory. The fact that I was a crazy lunatic for so long, it gives God glory. Hallelujah. So I didn't come out the womb like a Jesus lover. So if you didn't either, there's so much hope for you. Okay. But the Lord, after a year of running away from him, I was just brought to my knees and I said, Lord, I need you. And so I just started a healing journey with the Lord. And there's so much more. I feel like I talked about this with my friend a couple years back, but how our testimony is really never over.
Yeah.
God is always teaching us more things, which is unfortunate. We're always being sanctified until we get to heaven, fam. So that was 5 years ago. But in these past 5 years, God has taught me so much and like brought me to my knees again and again and again, specifically about waiting, which we're going to talk about. But I feel like I'm living in another testimony with the Lord right now.
Yeah.
Like my third testimony, I feel like. But if that makes sense. Yeah, you get it.
It's so real. Like, because I love that we're going to talk about waiting because that's kind of the season that my husband and I have been in with trying to conceive. And it's like, it's so true because I remember being single and I was walking with the Lord. And I'm like, God, when are you going to send my husband? And then he sends my husband, which I didn't know he was my husband yet. We were just dating. And then I'm like, God, when are you going to send engagement? And then he sends it. And it's like, then we're married and now we're in trying to conceive journey. And then we're one day going to have the baby because I believe that in faith. And then we're going to want the next baby. And it's like, there's always a waiting season, no matter which way we look at it, no matter what season we're in now, there will always be a waiting season. And if I've learned one thing, it's learning to wait well in that. And just hearing you say that. So we'll dive into that in a minute, but I love that you talked about being lukewarm because I feel like that's something that, yeah, you would never look at you now and think, wow, Ashley was at a bar or she was, you know, the girl that was drunk on Saturday night and then going to church the next morning. But that is just such a testament of God's goodness, because that's what he does. He gives us a new life. He gives us a new outward appearance, a new inward heart. And I look back at the old photos of even me and I'm like, I don't even recognize that version of Brittany, because like even just the glow that Holy Spirit gives us is so far beyond anything that this world could ever give us. So I would love to just talk about like the waiting season. What has that looked like for you? What was it that spurred you to write this devotional that you have now released? And maybe just talk a little bit about some of the things that you learned, because I'm imagining that writing process was a process with God. What are some of the biggest lessons that you've learned in your walk with the Lord?
I'm so glad we can relate to it together in different ways.
Amen. Oh my gosh.
Like, hallelujah.
There's just so much. Like, I look back and I mean, there's days where I'll just get so overwhelmed with grief, not grief, but like gratitude. Like, and I'll just start weeping. Because I'm like, thank you, Jesus, for saving me from what you saved me from. Thank you, Lord, for the grace upon grace upon grace, for all the moments that, I mean, I was personally, my story's a little bit different. I grew up in a Christian home, but when I was about 17, I just like went off the deep end, as most teenagers do. I had no idea who I was. I was trying to find happiness in the world, and just being able to like, looking back, knowing that he never stopped pursuing me. Just like you said, it wasn't necessarily me knocking on the door to his heart. He was knocking on the door to mine, and he never stopped because he's relentless like that. And I'm just so grateful that all of the moments that I chose to pretty much spit in his face, if we're being honest here, you know, it's one thing to not know God and to try to find your way in the world, but it's another to know him and know his presence and completely turn away like the prodigal son. And that's what I did. And just like, wow, I don't know, that it's just a level of like gratefulness that I feel like never goes away. And I never want it to, right? Like I never want to lose that feeling in my heart of knowing I was so far gone and he saved me. And yeah, so to anyone listening that you feel like you either you didn't grow up in a Christian home or you did and you've turned away, like just hearing both of our stories, there's so much hope.
Yeah, absolutely. It's beautiful. Both stories are beautiful. Whether you grew up in the faith or whether you never knew about Jesus growing up, like the fact that God cared enough to save us.
Yeah.
What a gift.
It makes everything like as cheesy. This is going to sound so cheesy, but it makes even like your worst days feel so like navigatable. Is that a word? I don't know. Mm-hmm. We just made it a word. It makes it feel so easy to get through them because you're like, but like, look at what he did on the cross for us. Like,
yeah.
This is not the end of the story. And I think that alone right there is something that probably helps in the waiting of just knowing like the best days are yet ahead and God is not done writing it. And if it's not good, he's not done. All those cliche things that we hear in church, right? But they're biblical and God only has good gifts for his children. Is it going to be hard and filled with learning lessons and tough days? Absolutely. Because sanctification is a journey. And that is probably the hardest part of walking with the Lord, because it doesn't always get easier. Sometimes it gets harder because we're having to learn to remove those layers of our flesh and give those unto the Lord so that he can replace that with his fruit of the Spirit. So sorry, that was a little tangent. I don't know where that came from.
That's so good. I love it.
Yeah.
It was important.
It was. Apparently Holy Spirit wanted me to say that. So, but yeah, I would just love to hear about all the things that you've learned in writing this devotional. What has been for the girl who's in a waiting season right now, what would you say to encourage her? And what has been the biggest thing that has helped you in your waiting season?
Okay. So, first and foremost, started writing this Devo not knowing what the topic would be over, but then the Holy Spirit led me to waiting because so many girls that followed me were struggling with waiting for their spouse, waiting for a child, waiting for, you know, that college acceptance letter, whatever it was. And you're just in this spot of you have a dream from God. Maybe you've gotten a word from God, like you know this is from God, right? You know it's from God. You can't shake it. It's from the Lord. And we see God does this in scripture all day long. He gives people promises. He gives people dreams, visions. And then he throws them in a wilderness.
Yeah.
And he throws them in and they have no idea when the promise will be fulfilled. Yeah. They just have to have faith that it will be done.
Yeah.
And so specifically, when the Lord led me to write that devotional, the biggest thing I was waiting for and am still waiting for is my kingdom husband, who I know is going to be this fine man of God. I can say it in full faith.
Amen, sister.
But the fact that God made me write about my biggest, I guess, my biggest struggle, my biggest vulnerable like area of my life, especially with my parents' divorce, like an area that hasn't quite been redeemed yet. The fact that God threw me in to write about that. And then what's also crazy, writing a book takes 2 years, fam. I thought by the end of my book writing process this month, like March, that I would be with my mans and I'd be like, well, look at the faithfulness of God. Y'all, he is nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. As we speak. Okay, so God is so funny. Like he has literally allowed me to live out this message.
Wow.
Like, which, you know, I feel like we hear so much about waiting from people who aren't waiting anymore. Yeah. We don't hear about waiting, Brittany, from people who are still waiting.
Yep. That's so true. Because I was literally just, I was in a podcast interview a couple weeks back about our trying to conceive journey. And we were talking about how when you get to the other side of the waiting, whether it's dating, marriage, engagement, babies, career, whatever it is, it's like you're on an island when you're waiting and you're just on this island with all these other people who are waiting. And then when you get the flight off the island, because you've then graduated into the next season of getting the promise, it's like you feel forgotten. And I couldn't relate to that more because it seems like all the people that are talking about it are on the other side. And it's like, no, we need people that are in the thick of it that don't see the promised land yet, that are believing and contending and trusting God for it, but they don't know when it's going to come. So I love that you said that because I can fully relate. And I'm sure so many women listening can.
Yeah. And it's so vulnerable. I mean, even to be on podcasts and just still share like, guys, I'm still waiting with you. Like I'm on that island with you. Yeah. But the biggest thing about the book is not to like, hey, this is how you get the thing that you've been praying for. That is literally not what the book is about. The book is about clinging to faith and trusting God even while you wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even while you don't have the promise, how do you surrender? And like God has had to strip me of my idols. Like, oh my goodness, he's had to strip me of even the fantasy of being with my husband one day. Like, that is not going to make my problems go away.
Yeah.
So he's had to be like, just strip, like literally get all of this flesh off of me to be like, God, actually, if this never happens, I will believe, I will hope, but also God, you're enough. Like you saving me from my sin, you just being with me every single day, Holy Spirit, that is literally enough. You could do no other thing and I would be so grateful. So I think God wants us in that spot. You, my sister, might be listening to this and you're like, well, I'm waiting for a child or I'm waiting for my husband. He hasn't come yet. It's been X amount of years. Okay, let me tell you, you have every valid feeling under the sun right now and I want to validate you so much, but I also don't want you to stay in this heart posture of like being bitter with God or just like staring at the clock, waiting for it to come. You know, like God has so much for you right now, my sis, and you don't need to wait for that promise to come into your life to actually feel joy.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. And it's, I think it's a dangerous place to be where you think that getting that promise is going to be what makes you happy and makes you joyful. And I, again, once again, can't relate to you more. I feel like just being on this journey for us, it's been almost 3 years of wanting a baby and just through the highs and lows of all of it. Like there was a point, I guess this was about six months ago where I just was like, and if not, God is good. Like it finally hit me. I was like, am I going to be okay if this never comes to pass? am I going to trust that he's still good and he's still sovereign and he still sits on the throne of my heart? And that was a real and raw and messy question that I had to ask myself, because I think it's one thing for us to say it. It's another for us to truly believe that in our heart, that if God doesn't bring this thing that we want so deeply, which I believe that he places desires on our heart to be a wife, to be a mom. And those are desires that we know the enemy doesn't give us, because the enemy hates marriage. He hates children. Like, so we know it's from God.
That's good, Brittany.
Yeah. So we know that that desire comes from him, but it's like, okay, yes, but how do I steward like this desire, but also making sure it doesn't become an idol? Because I think we can easily, and I'm just as guilty of that. Like, I've had to repent so many times of, God, I put this before you. Like, I'm so sorry. And that's just our human nature, you know? But I love that you're so real and you're so vulnerable and you're so raw and you're not scared to share, like, hey guys, like, I wrote this thinking that I would be on the other side of it by the time it was on the bookshelf, and it's not. And yeah, I still trust God, and I'm still here waiting, and I'm still believing in faith, and it doesn't change or damper or waver my faith in him, because he knows the when and the how and the why and the where. And like, I always kind of just like humble myself, because I'm like, who am I? Like, who am I to think that I know what's best for me? Who am I to think that now and today that I should have a baby in my arms, or you should have a wedding ring on your finger? Like, who are we to think that we know God's perfect timing? Because, you know, for me, with my husband Jordan, like, had we met any sooner, he wouldn't have been walking with the Lord, nor would I. And it would have been an absolute recipe for disaster. And I look back and I'm like, God was doing a holy work in both him and I at different times. We hadn't met yet. We didn't even know each other. And then he brought us together. And I'm like, thank you, Lord, because the man that he is so perfect for me. And he did a work in my heart, because I was an absolute mess. I was a walking train wreck. And he had to do a lot of healing inside of me before I was prepared for a man like him. And so just to encourage anyone that maybe you're like Ashley and you're like, I've been walking with the Lord for years. Like, what the heck is going on? God might be doing a good thing in your kingdom spouse. And it doesn't make sense now. And, you know, even the baby stuff, it doesn't make sense now. But I believe that God has a calling on our future children's life, and that he has a calling for a specific year, a specific
day,
a specific school. And I'm like, that means that they have to be born at a specific time. And if it's not that time yet, you know, I'm a big believer that like we're Gen Z, which I'm not Gen Z, you are. I'm like right at the cutoff. But I believe that Gen Z is going to be, there's going to be a revival outbreak, and that it's going to spill over that it's going to spill over into the upcoming generations. And I'm just like, okay, I can trust God with this. Like, those are the things I have to think about, because it is so easy for us to get in our head and think that we know the time and the place and the hour, when really we don't. We don't know anything. And so, I don't know, another tangent, sorry.
No, I could cry. That's so powerful.
Yeah. And I just like, just to encourage you even as a sister in Christ who's on the other side of it, like, I remember being in that situation and thinking like, it's never going to be me, and having to watch everyone around me, you know, get engaged and married and get everything that I had been praying for. But when it happened for us, it was so supernatural. And it was like God supernaturally expedited everything. And our marriage came fast. Our engagement came fast. The wedding was my dream wedding. Like, God provided so much. And I feel that for you, Ashley. Like, I feel like it's going to come out. And I'm not like prophesying or anything, but I genuinely feel
that
you can receive it. Yeah.
It'd be okay if you were.
Yeah. This is, I mean, this could be a word. I don't know. But I see that. I see it happening for you so fast. And I see it just coming out of left field. I've been hearing sudden supernatural shift since October. And I feel like that's for the body of Christ, that things are just going to shift suddenly, and it's going to be something that only he could get glory for. And so I don't know. I'm excited. excited to keep following you and just seeing all that God is doing in your life now and what he's gonna do. Girl, get ready. Buckle up. I see it all over you. There's such an anointing and a calling on your life.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, first and foremost, thank you. This is me crying. I'm crying. Two, God will get so much glory because literally there's no one right now, guys. Like, oh my gosh. It's literally like we're at a sleepover and we're talking about like who likes who. Like, guys, there's literally no one on the horizon. So it will be, God will get so much glory. Three, amen. My girl, God gave me the same word, the same word. He literally told me, he's like, Ashley, what it's not that you and your husband have a calling, it's your kids have a calling.
Wow.
And so not only is it timing for you and your husband to come together, it's timing for you to literally, for your kids. Like, I need your kids in the world at a certain time.
Yeah.
To minister to a certain group of people, for this one girl to get saved. I mean, God literally has a plan for our kids.
Yeah.
That, guys, if we want to be humbled real quick and like waiting for our future families, like that will humble us. Like, yeah. God doesn't, it's not just about us. It's literally about our kids, and not about, just about our kids. It's about who they are meant to, literally, God will use them to share the gospel.
Yes. Yes. It's, I know, it's one of those things, like the mind blown emoji, where you're just like,
yes.
When you really start thinking about it and you start realizing that our life is not actually just about us. It's about our future kids and the future generation and the generation that's going to usher in, you know, when he returns for his bride. And I'm like, what? Like, it's just, it's wild to think about. Oh my gosh, that's so good.
It's so good. And it humbles us. I think God has humbled me so much the last couple of years with waiting for my husband to come into my life. Cause I always thought the timing, I would literally be like, in 6 months, God, I'm believing that you could do this. I'm believing that this will happen. And it's like, who am I to know the stinking timeline? Mm-hmm. Who am I to say 6 months, God's going to do something? He could do something in a day. He could do something in 3 years. Like, God is God. Like, God is God. And his timing is so perfectly orchestrated, just as Brittany was saying, like, it is expedited, you guys. When God wants something to happen, he will make it happen. This is also for you. If you've been striving, my sis, maybe you've been trying to get that guy to notice you, or you've been like trying to conceive, like you're striving, you're striving, and you're not allowing the Lord to work in his timing. I feel like we got to talk about Sarah,
wow,
too.
Oh my gosh, Sarah in the Bible. Yes.
Yeah.
That was wild. I've been reading the Old Testament because I'm reading the Bible all the way through this year. And when I got to the story of Sarah, I was like, hold up. Like, she tried so hard to make things happen in her own strength and strive and strive, and it didn't, and it didn't, and it didn't. Yeah. And I love that you just brought that up. Would you talk about that? Like, Have there ever been seasons where you felt like you were trying to pick up the pieces yourself and mm-hmm. and carry the weight of it all, and then like the difference between what it's looked like doing that and then just surrendering it to the Lord?
Mm. So absolutely, and I'm sure you can talk about this too. I think we all have our own testimony with this, but I think sometimes you get to a point where you're like, okay, God, I'm done waiting. Like, I'm going to help you. Okay, so in the name of helping God, which Sarah did the same thing, we see in the natural what we can do to help something that would be supernatural. Because God, I know when my husband comes into my life, it will be a miracle. With all of the horrible dating stories I've had and the brokenness in my family, it will literally be a miracle from God. If it's a miracle from God, God does not need your help to make it happen. Yeah. Period.
Yeah.
Period. Because it's a miracle.
Yeah.
So we get to partner in faith. We get to pray. I do believe in the power of prayer, my girl.
Amen.
I do believe in the power of fasting, but you ain't going to strategize your way to a miracle.
Yeah.
And so there have been times when I've tried to do that, especially with dating. Like, you know, I have a wedding to go to, one of my best friend's wedding. I'm going to be a bridesmaid. Okay, I'll be the single bridesmaid. So then I go on every online dating app in the world, right? I ask everyone for a setup. I overbook myself. I go to every single church community thing, like every potluck, just to like force it. And then I meet a guy who I like, and then he breaks my heart.
And I'm like, wow, Lord, if I just had waited and trusted you, I would not be feeling this way. And Sarah, same thing, y'all. If you haven't read it, you need to read about Sarah, because my girl, she's just trying to help God in the name of, she had good intentions, okay? Mm-hmm. But she was really fed up and she genuinely thought that the Lord had forgotten about this promise. So she makes her husband sleep with her servant, which people were doing that back then. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that was how God was going to move in other people's families, but that was not the promise that God gave Sarah. God gave her and Abraham a specific promise. And she, that's why when God gives you that dream, he gives you that promise. He still does do that, by the way, my girl, he still does do that. The same God of the Bible is the same God of today. But I really caution you to take matters into your own hands. And I'm not saying online dating is bad, but it was, I don't think it's how God is going to do this miracle for me. Maybe that will change, fam. I'm open to that if the Holy Spirit leads. But in the past, it's been me striving and I just get freaked out and I just start swiping left and right.
Amen. That's so good. It's so true. Oh my gosh. Everything you just said, I'm like, yeah, every time. So we literally just ran into this because we've been going on a fertility journey. We literally go to the fertility doctor. This is like, I guess a month ago. And the day, like literally the within 20 minutes of getting out of the fertility appointment, which was 3 hours, intensive blood work, this, that, ultrasounds, just like so invasive, so overwhelming, so many emotions. But I'm like, I think this is our option. Like, this is what we should do, right? We can't have a baby. So like, this is what is the only other route to go down. I get in my car after the fertility appointment, go get a green juice. And I'm just sitting in my car crying with the Lord, processing with the Lord. I'm like, God, I need you to speak because I'm so overwhelmed by this whole thing. I look down and an adoption agency is calling me, the same adoption agency that we had been trying to get in touch with for like 2 months. And I'm like, shut the front door. If that is not the Lord, that is not, I don't believe in coincidences. That was not a coincidence. That was the Lord so clearly speaking. And it humbled me because I realized in that moment, I was trying to take things into our own hands. Mm-hmm. And am I glad that we went to the fertility doctor? Absolutely. We got answers that we had been praying to get for a long time. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to, you know, still go to that doctor, because I do believe that God has given us doctors. That's not what I'm saying at all. But it was a moment of, do you trust me? Do you trust that I have a good thing for you? And do you trust me enough to let it go? And truly, like, with open hands, surrender this to me. And for me, I mean, I was in my car. I'm bawling. I'm just like tears running down my face. And I had that moment of like, once again, here we are, same boat of, you know, I let it go 6 months ago and I said I fully surrender. And then some more time went by and I was just like fed up. I'm like, God.
Yeah.
So I tried taking it back in my hands again and planning the appointments and got the appointments locked in on a calendar. And then I was right back to square one of here I am again, of God speaking so loudly that it's humbled me, because I realized once again, we picked up the burden that he didn't ask me to carry. And so, yeah, I totally feel that. The story of Sarah and Hannah, both of those stories in the Bible, I've just like clung to in this season. But I always, I have this ongoing joke with the Lord. I'm like, God, I trust you, but like, please just don't make me wait till I'm 90 like you did Sarah. Yeah, that just sounds...
Please don't.
I'm like, I want to be, when I'm 92, I would love to just be in your glory.
Yeah.
I don't want to be, like, I would just love to be with you. And so I always kind of just joke with the Lord about that. But if not, he is still good. And it is so hard, especially, I would imagine you and I are like, in the sense, I'm a very type A driven, like, have always struggled with perfectionism, athlete. Yep, you get it. We're two peas in a pod.
Yep.
And it's so hard for people like us that are wired that way with our to-do list and our checklist and, you know, all of our goals and our dreams to just like not strive. And that has honestly been probably one of the biggest struggles for me. And also to realize that, like, I wasn't planning on taking it this direction, but even realizing that, like, it's not in our striving. That's not what earns our salvation and our love from God. Like, it has nothing to do with, like, he could care less. He just wants us and he just wants our heart. And so, yeah, that was kind of random, but to bring it back. So, you know, the waiting season can bring a lot of doubt and a lot of fear, kind of like we've already talked a little bit about. What is something that really helped you, like, stay focused on God in those moments of overwhelm that you probably still feel sometimes, if we're being honest, and I know I do, of like, what if it doesn't happen? Like, you know, the doubting and the fear that can lead to even things like apathy and laziness and, mm-hmm. and bitterness when you see other people getting the promise that you have been praying for years. What are some things that have really helped you walk through that and surrender that to him?
Mm. Girl, I love that we're talking about this because I just feel like the people listening are like, thank you that people are finally talking about this. Because I don't think the church talks about it enough. So especially from two girlies who are in it, like mm-hmm. we're in it with you. So mm-hmm. man, I just hope they feel so validated. You who are listening to this, one of the biggest things that helped me, I watched this movie called After Death. Did you see it?
I did. And it was eye-opening, to say the least. I was like, what in the world? Like, just, yes.
So that movie really has brought, and just an eternal perspective in general has helped me so much. Because wow. I realized when I get to heaven and I'm standing in front of Jesus and we're looking at everything that I did with my life, how I loved people, right? My singleness and me being single, like, won't matter in eternity at all.
Wow.
Legit. If that's not God's assignment for me to, you know, love and serve a man of God, have children with that man of God, if that's not God, part of God's assignment for me, but I do everything else so faithfully well and I do it for the kingdom, then that is all that matters.
Yeah.
And I'll literally get to the gates and, like, a lot of this stuff that we're waiting on, guys, it's kind of, not that it's not eternal, but it can get very worldly, like, especially, yeah. you know, around my age, like, I'm 26. So everyone's getting married. Everyone's all this. It's kind of a worldly perspective. However, if I go to kingdom perspective, eternal perspective, it's like, man, God, I woke up today. It's a Thursday. I just want to serve you.
Yeah.
How can I serve you? That is eternal perspective, my girl.
Yeah.
How do I serve God today?
Yeah. So good.
And if you look at it that way and you keep your eyes on Jesus, when God does bring that blessing, it will be so sweet. But also, not only that, you're not going to idolize it because your heart was always with an eternal mindset. So now it goes to, now it's not like you're idolizing this thing that God gave you. It's all right. Now, how can I steward this for the glory of God for eternity? How can I love my husband so that heaven is more crowded? How can I love mm-hmm. my husband so that God looks at me at the end of my life and goes, well done, my good and faithful servant? Like, it's never about what we get. It's always about what God gives us and going, okay, how do I do the best I can in being faithful with this? Same thing with you, Brittany. Like, when God brings you your child, it's not going to be like you idolize this child or like, oh, finally all my problems go away. It's like, no, no. Now, Brittany, I have something for you to steward.
Yeah.
So when you get to the gates, it's like, Brittany, did you love your kid?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Okay, cool. I'm so proud of you. Like, eternal perspective, fam.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love that you said that too. Like, stewarding, because it is so true. And I look back, and I don't know if you've felt this way, like, with your journey of singleness, but I look back even on my singleness and I'm like, God kept me single for a reason, because I would not have stewarded my husband's heart the way that I could, that I did once I truly was walking with the Lord. And then I look at even, like, the motherhood situation, and I'm like, even though I don't know what he's doing yet, because I don't know what it's going to look like to steward that, I know that he's preparing my heart for motherhood, and he's removing ugly roots out of my heart that, you know, I know I'm going to be a good mom. I know that because I've had that desire for so long. But every mom has mistakes, you know, like, I talked to my mom and she's like, yeah, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Or, you know, my dad. And every parent has their lessons that they've learned. And I'm like, if God is allowing this season to go on longer because he's teaching me to steward a blessing that he's going to place in my hands in a little bit later down the road, then that's worth the wait. And so I love that you said that, because stewardship is a huge thing in the kingdom. I mean, with everything, with our jobs, with our relationships, our finances, how the choices we make on a daily basis. Like, I love that. Sorry. That's just like, wow, so good.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Well, this is something that I'd love to ask you too. I feel like our listeners would love, our listeners right now. How do we stay in a posture of surrender? Mm. How do we stay there?
Wow.
Because I think I even would love to talk about that right now, because it's so easy to take it back off. Like, you give it to the Lord and then you like pick it back up. How do we just keep it there with the Lord?
Yeah. That's so good. Wow. Yeah. This is a huge topic, I feel like. For me, I mean, I don't even know if I have like a blanket answer for this. For me, I've noticed that there's weeks and days that seem easier and harder. Like, I'll notice there'll be a couple weeks that'll go by and I won't really think about it. And then, for example, like when you're on a trying to conceive journey, and then I'll get my period. And it's this just uprooted reminder of what you don't have and what you should have had. It's just like all the waves of emotions that come with that. And then I'll be, you know, that week, I'm just right back down in the dumps and I'm just really sad. And I'm trying to like pick everything back up again and do it myself. And I always think of like this little kid, like, I'll do it myself. Like, that's what I see myself as. Like, I just throwing a temper tantrum almost, if we're being real. Because I don't want to keep waiting on God's timing. And who am I to think that he's making a mistake? Like, he's perfect in everything that he does.
Yeah.
And it's a cycle more than it is like a constant posture. 'Cause I'll go through waves, you know, like I said, a couple weeks where we're good, we're Gucci. Like, I don't need anything. Like, I trust the Lord. I don't need a reminder that his timing is perfect. I believe that his timing is perfect. And then it's just like, wham, reality hits. Yeah. And I'm right back to square one of like, dang. Or I see the pregnancy announcement, or I see, you know, and it's not that you can't be happy for the.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's so hard. And it's not that we're not happy, right? Like, you can be genuinely happy for them, but also grieving what you don't have yet.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's it like for you? Because for me, it's like a constant cycle.
Yeah. Oh, I think I'm learning it too, because it's funny. I think what you're mentioning is triggers. It's so, is it that we guard our eyes from triggers, maybe?
Yeah.
But that's, I think another thing is constant prayer. Like, whenever I feel that grief come in or that worry, I'm like, okay, I can either freak out or I can just bring it to Jesus right now and say, God, I don't understand. I mean, there have been so many times I've been crying on that bathroom floor. Legit, crying out to the Lord. And Hannah, you mentioned Hannah, she was weeping. People thought she was drunk. Yeah. That is how much my girl was crying.
Yeah.
Right? And so cry out to the Lord, like, in your sadness. He's not afraid of it. And yes, he has the power to change it, change your circumstance, but he also wants to sit with you in that.
Yes, he can handle our emotions. That's something that when I was told that a long time ago, I was like, oh, it makes sense. He did create our emotions. Like, he created all of them. You know, if you're angry one day, like, you have permission to process all of that with the Lord, and obviously in a respectful way, but, you know, like, he can handle it. And wow, this is all so good. Well, to wrap up, like, where can everyone find your devotional? It's called The Joy of the In-Between, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Where can everyone find it? And where can everyone find you and get connected with you if they don't already know who you are?
Girl, I'm going to answer this and then I want to pray, because I just feel so led to pray. Man, I just feel moved to tears because this conversation is so powerful. Like, when you're actually walking through it with another sister, like, y'all, I feel like the people listening are crying too, because it's just, it hurts.
Yeah.
You're not alone.
Yeah.
You're not alone, man. And God wants to meet you where you're at.
Yeah.
So if you are in this spot right now where you're in a waiting season, you can get my book. It will really help you. That's my prayer. It's a daily devotional. So in your season of waiting, you can be reminded every day of you can trust God. You can trust God, the promises of God, that God is faithful. And so you can find this book at thehoneyscoop.com/book. If it's already out, you can search for it wherever you get books. And I have like a free bonus in there. So make sure to put your order number in the website, thehoneyscoop.com/book. And you can also follow me at Ashley Hetherington on Instagram if you want.
So fun.
Brittany, we need to pray.
Let's do it. Let's do it. I feel like there's women that they just got set free, or they're in the process of being set free just from hearing all of this. Because again, like you said, there's just not a lot of people talking about it that are in the middle of the waiting. They're trying to find the joy in the in-between, literally the name of your devotional. And I think that is just so timely for so many people. So yes, let's do it.
Hallelujah. Okay, Jesus, I thank you for every single amazing human being under the sound of my voice, God. I thank you that you have not forgotten them, Lord. And so, Abba, I just pray, God, that they would lift up whatever it is they are waiting on, whether it's the spouse, the job, the community / friend group, the child, God, the finances. I don't know what it is that they are waiting for that you put in their hearts. You put this dream in their hearts. It was not from them, God. It is a holy dream. But Abba, it is hard to trust you sometimes in this waiting. And so God, I just pray, help them to trust you. Help them to surrender in the waiting and be with them every step of the way. And Lord God, I specifically want to bless my sister, Brittany, God. I thank you for her. And I just pray that every single person under the sound of my voice would intercede for my sister right now. God, we just pray a blessing over her and her husband. We pray that this child would come and we would all rejoice in the name of Jesus when you bring this miracle, God. She has been faithful, God. She has been diligent, Lord. And so I just pray, God, that you would bless her womb in the name of Jesus, God, and that we would all get to celebrate when it happens. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Girl, I know that was bold, but I felt led to pray for you. I said, absolutely not. We're all going to pray.
I am here for all the prayers. Like, thank you for that. Thank you. And I love that you're just like, I love being around women of God who aren't afraid to just step in and be like, we need to pray. I'm like, that is the mindset right there, because we should technically be like a walking house of prayer. We have the Holy Spirit living in us, right? Like,
yeah.
I adore you. You're so special to me already. And I'm like, I just want to drive to Nashville and hang out with you and get to know you, because we already have so much in common with all of this. And yeah, so good.
It's coming. Whenever you're in Nash, we'll go hang out.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much, Ashley, for being with us today.
Thank you, Angel. It was so fun.
I don't even know how to end this podcast, because Holy Spirit was just so clearly moving in this episode. You have permission as a daughter of the Most High King to step fully into this season of waiting and just be still and just enjoy it, as hard as that may seem at times. If today blessed you, please leave a review or share this with a friend. You never know how God wants to speak to someone. As always, thank you guys so much for stopping in, and I will see you all in the next episode.
If you'd like to learn more about Brittany Dawn, you can find her personal platforms and ministry through the social links below. Thank you for listening in today. And remember, there's no depth that God will not go for you. His grace is sufficient, even here.